All right, welcome to another deep dive. Starting a doctorate, it's a pretty big deal,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. It's a huge commitment.
And today,
Yeah.
we're diving into how to not just survive it, but actually thrive.
Thrive, yeah.
And we've got some awesome advice from two different sources, so we're getting like a complete, well-rounded picture.
Yeah, I was surprised, you know?
But
They
let me,
both
well,
started at the same place. Your why?
yeah. That was so striking to me. It's like before you even think about managing time or research or whatever,
Yeah.
you got to be like rock solid on why you're doing this thing in the first place.
One of the sources, they had this story about Viktor Frankl, the psychiatrist who survived the Holocaust. He
Wow.
talked about how having a strong sense of purpose, you know, like a really deep why, that was bigger than just himself.
Yeah.
That's what helped him get through it.
That's powerful. And I think it translates really well to the doctorate journey. I
Totally.
mean, obviously the stakes are different, but when you hit those walls in your research
Yeah.
or you're just like drowning in work, it's that deep motivation that'll keep you moving.
It can't just be about like getting PhD after your name, right? It's
Right.
about like what do you actually want to achieve? What impact are you trying to make?
It makes you think, are you doing this for you or is it because of what other people expect? That source really pushed me to examine my own motivations,
There was this suggestion I thought was really helpful. Write down what finishing this doctorate actually means to you. Not the degree itself, but like how will you have changed? What new skills will you have?
Right. It's like a personal growth roadmap alongside the academic one.
Exactly.
Okay, so once you have that solid why, both sources talk about time management, which, let's be honest, it's so tempting to just think, oh, I'll squeeze in study time whenever. But realistically,
It doesn't really work that way.
it never does.
One source said, you know, be honest about what you've already got going on, work, family, all that,
Yeah.
and then like intentionally carve out time for study.
It's like that analogy they used, finding space in an already packed suitcase.
Yeah, gotta get
Got
creative.
to get resourceful.
One source talked about time blocking, which honestly, that's been a game changer for me.
What's that?
It's literally scheduling blocks of time for studying.
Oh, interesting.
Like you'd schedule any other important meeting or whatever.
Makes sense.
They even mentioned things like the Pomodoro technique, you know, where you work in focused bursts.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
I've tried it and it's surprisingly effective. It breaks those huge study sessions down.
Right,
Plus, it
yeah.
reminds you to take breaks so you don't burn out.
It's all about that balance, right?
Totally.
Which brings us to the next thing. Both sources emphasize setting boundaries and something they called non-negotiables.
Yeah, non-negotiables are those parts of your life that you absolutely won't compromise on.
Even during the craziest parts of the doctorate.
Right, like maybe it's family dinner every Sunday night
Oh, yeah.
or a daily workout. For me, it's like an hour before bed, no screens, just reading.
I love that. Those things that like recharge you and keep you sane. But it's not
Exactly.
enough to just identify them,
Yeah,
right? You have to protect
you
them.
have to say no sometimes.
Two extra commitments, things that cut into study time or those non-negotiables.
Be upfront with everyone, friends, family, colleagues. Let them know you're dedicated to the doctorate, but also to those essential parts of your life.
Yeah, I think that's so important.
It is. It sets those expectations early on.
Okay, so we've got the why, we've got managing time, setting boundaries. Where do we go from here?
Well, next up, we'll explore how to create the perfect study environment, get that brain in focus mode.
Perfect. Let's dive in. So, creating a dedicated workspace, right? It's more than just having a desk, isn't it?
It really is. It's fascinating, actually. Our brains, they kind of respond to the environment, you know? Like if you consistently work in the same spot, your brain starts to connect that place with focus, with getting things
That's
done.
like a signal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like flipping a switch.
I've noticed that if I try to work on the couch or something,
Yeah.
my brain's still in relax mode.
It's still like, it's couch time.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be like this fancy home office,
Yeah,
right?
no, not at all. One source mentioned Maya Angelou, the
Oh,
novelist.
yeah.
She used to rent a hotel room just to write.
Wow,
It
really?
was her dedicated space, no distractions. She could just get into the flow.
That's so interesting.
It's about being intentional, finding what works for you know,
Yeah.
a library corner, a coffee shop, maybe even just a spot at your kitchen table.
As long as it's consistent.
Right, when you enter that space, your brain's like, okay, time to work.
I like that.
One source even suggested having a little ritual for entering your workspace.
Oh, interesting. Like a routine.
Exactly. Maybe you light a candle, put on headphones, make some tea, whatever.
Yeah.
Something that tells your brain, all right, switching gears now.
A mental cue to get focused.
Exactly. And speaking of focus, we can't forget about physical activity.
Oh, right. It's easy to get stuck sitting all the time.
It is. But exercise, it's not just good for your body, it's good for your brain too.
Yeah, I've heard that.
One source mentioned a study, even short bursts of exercise can help you concentrate better.
So it's like hitting the reset button for your mind. That's
Exactly.
encouraging because I'm not exactly a marathon runner.
You don't have to be. Even a quick walk, some yoga, it all makes a difference.
Right.
Just stand up and stretch every hour, get that blood flowing.
Okay, so dedicated workspace, staying active, remembering our why. What about the mental side of things?
Well, both sources talk about something a lot of doctoral students face, imposter syndrome.
Yeah, that feeling like you're not good enough, not smart enough.
Exactly. It's so common, but it can really hold you back.
How do we deal with that?
One source said, try to see challenges as opportunities for growth, you know?
Instead of thinking I am failing, it's I'm learning.
Right. And remember, everyone struggles, even the most successful academics.
Yeah, it's part of the process.
They also talked about having a support system.
Oh, yeah, people who get it.
Friends, mentors, other students, people who understand what you're going through.
Because it's not just about getting support,
Right.
it's about giving it too.
Totally. Sharing your experiences, helping others, it builds that sense of community.
It reminds you that you're not alone.
Exactly. Now, I think it's important to remember to find joy in the process too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get caught up in the stress.
One source suggested making a joy list.
A joy list.
Things that make you happy, hobbies, activities, experiences, whatever.
And then actually make time for them.
Yes. Self-care, it's essential, it's not selfish.
Right. Taking care of yourself makes you a better student, researcher, everything.
It's about remembering that life is bigger than just academics.
Okay, so we've covered a lot: practical tips, the mental game, the importance of support.
And one of the biggest takeaways for me was this idea of mindset. Our success.
One source talked about a growth mindset.
Yes. Believing that you can always learn and improve, even when things get tough.
So it's not about being perfect, it's about embracing the journey.
Exactly. That's the mindset that'll carry you through.
Okay, so we've explored a ton of strategies for not just surviving, but actually thriving in your doctor program.
Yeah.
From defining that why to setting those boundaries and really cultivating a growth mindset.
Yeah, and I think now, you know, it's good to kind of zoom out a bit. Think
Yeah.
about how we keep that momentum going for the long haul.
Right, because it is a long haul.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly. And one source, they had this analogy about it being like a series of sprints within the marathon.
Oh, I like that.
You have those times of super intense work, and then you have to like recharge.
It's a good way to visualize it because there are definitely peaks and valleys.
It reminds us that it's not about going full speed all the time.
Yeah, you got to pace yourself, know when to take a break.
So you don't burn out.
Exactly. And one of the sources talked about tracking your progress.
Oh, that's a good idea. Whether it's a to-do list, a fancy app, or just a journal where you write down what you've achieved.
It's encouraging, right?
It is. It's like seeing those progress bars on your computer.
Yeah. When you can actually see yourself moving forward.
Gives you that motivation to keep going.
And we have to remember, progress isn't always a straight line.
Right. Definitely not. There will be times you feel stuck.
Or even like you've taken a step back.
The important thing is not to let it derail you completely.
One source talked about having a bounce back plan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, what do you do when you hit those tough moments?
For me, it's often about reaching out, talking to someone who gets it.
A friend, a mentor, someone who understands.
Yes, sometimes I just need to step away from work completely.
Oh, yeah.
Go for a hike, listen to music, just disconnect for a bit.
It's so important to have those tools because we all have those moments of doubt,
We do, it's part of the journey.
but it's about having a plan to get through them. And speaking of support, both sources really stress how crucial mentorship is.
Mentorship, absolutely. Finding someone who can guide you, offer advice.
It's like having someone who's already walked this path.
Helping you navigate all the twists and turns.
And don't be afraid to get creative with finding a mentor.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be someone in your exact field or even someone you know personally.
There are so many people willing to share what they've learned.
And remember, it's not just about receiving mentorship.
Right, it's a two-way street.
As you progress, you'll have insights to share with others who are just starting out.
It's about paying it forward.
keeping that community strong and reinforcing your own learning, too.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this. A doctorate is transformative.
It is, both academically and personally.
It's a time of incredible growth, challenges, and ultimately deep fulfillment.
And while the road might be bumpy at times, by using these strategies, you can not only survive, but truly thrive.
Absolutely. So what's one change you're going to make based on what we've talked about today? What will help you thrive in your doctorate journey? Thanks for joining us for another deep dive